You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings, which I highly recommend. He has written an ebook titled The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity. You can find out more and book a reading on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
Oh, I'm amused as ever.
Used?
Amused.
Amused, yes. That's. I figured that was more like you to say amused.
Yeah.
So what are you finding amusing these days?
Well, virtually everything that the human race is doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with something that is foremost at the top of your mind?
I'm having a lot of fun looking ahead over the next few years astrologically.
Oh, that's fascinating. Let's hear about that.
That's all fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a real fun time as we get warmed up for 2020, because that's going to be a real fun one. That's when the restructuring of this world really kicks in.
Oh.
Yeah.
And how does that come about?
Well, there are lots of different factors, but a fun one to watch is the action going on in the tropical sign of Capricorn.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have had Pluto in Capricorn for a pretty long time. In fact, I had written an article called Global Metamorphosis back in 2008 when Pluto first entered the sign of Capricorn. And how Capricorn is everything that takes place out there in the public. And it's like Sagittarius, which is right before Capricorn, is like the house of philosophy. That's the sign where we have all of our ideals and so forth. And so we have our philosophies of, say, for example, the nature of life, the universe, and everything. Then we come into Capricorn, and that's when it takes form. That's when we end up with things like the Vatican. The religions and so forth. Right. Yeah, we love that stuff. Our philosophies of how we are going to cultivate and distribute resources. Okay, so that's in Sagittarius. Then we come into Capricorn and we end up with the Federal Reserve and the IMF and Wall Street and so forth. And then we have our philosophies in Sagittarius about how we can all get along together and conduct our affairs on this planet. And we go into Capricorn, and then we end up with governments. You know? Capricorn does involve all of those structures.
Mm-hmm.
So with Pluto going into Capricorn for about a 16-year jaunt, that means we're going to have some Plutonian action taking place over that period of time in the world of our external structures, government, religion, economy, etc. And Pluto is like total urban renewal.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I'm all for that.
Yes. I like to say that unlike Saturn, Pluto does not do remodeling jobs.
Right. Right, cosmetic. Cosmetic surgery.
There you go. Yeah. Now, Saturn is kind of like the guy who's in charge of quality control. So you can picture him in a white lab coat, carrying a clipboard, making check marks and scribbling things down on the paper, and then hands you the paper and says, here are your specifications. Make these changes. But Pluto, well, forget the lab coat and forget the clipboard. Pluto comes in with steel-toed boots and a hard hat.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's like bringing the wrecking balls and the bulldozers and taking it all down.
Nice. It's about time.
Well, yeah, we've waited for some time for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but combined with many other factors going into astrology that most people don't even think about, and that's like, where is our solar system in the galaxy right now?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, okay, this little trip of of Pluto through Capricorn is really going to take the old systems down.
Oh, nice, nice. And that's starting around 2020?
Well, it started. The warm-up started when it did a triple transit over the cusp entering Capricorn back in 2008.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't complete this until we get up to, like, whatever, 2026 or whatever the hell it is.
Ah, and so in the galactic arena, haven't we tipped into the other side of the galactic plane?
Well, yeah, we are, like, in a completely different energy field now.
Right, right. I also read a while back that the two galaxies, ours and our neighboring one, would be merging. And there was speculation about how the planets would miss each other or, you know, how they would blend. It's kind of like a dance where would join somehow and become one.
Right. There is not actually a collision.
Right.
It's a blending.
Blending. Yes, right.
Yeah. So at any rate, we are pretty far along in this jaunt of Pluto going through Capricorn. We're at like the two-thirds mark now.
Wow.
Yeah, but also Saturn has come into Capricorn to join the fun.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's lots of fun. And in fact, I wrote an article earlier in the year called Global Metamorphosis 2018 Update.
Ah, is that available on the web?
You can find it on Laura Bruno's blog.
Wonderful. I love her blog.
Yeah. And she recently came to the Reno area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were able to get together. That was fun.
Oh, she's such a wonderful person. I just love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, so anyway, on her blog you can find those articles. And, of course, now Saturn rules Capricorn.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
The Inspector General has come home here.
Oh, okay.
And is following along in the path that has been blazed through Capricorn by Pluto, and is going to begin the restructuring.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all very cool. But once we get up to the year 2020, in January, we're going to have good old Saturn will have caught up to Pluto. So we will have a Saturn-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn. Yeah, which is like...
Sounds like a battle.
It's not going to be it might be a battle because the old system is going to be fighting for its very life.
Oh, sure. It's been doing that for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, except it's going to be looking at its death throes.
Oh, good. That's good news.
Yeah, so that's going to be a wild time in 2020.
Wow.
And when we get up to 2022, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here in the U.S., because as we know, what happens in the U.S. is going to affect all the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen starting in 2022 is we, in the United States chart, will have a Pluto return.
Aha! Uh-huh. So more steel-toe boots. I hope that doesn't mean Nazis coming through and destroying everything. Seem to have a tendency to want to control the world.
Well, yeah, the Nazis, as we know, are still very busy, but they're part of that that whatever you want to call it, cabal, deep state, whatever.
Right.
And their system is what's being brought down.
Ah, well, don't they have a technology so advanced that there's a breakaway civilization that's capable of leaving at any moment?
Well, shall we say they have capabilities if it weren't for other beings with greater capabilities keeping them trapped.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
They're grounded. They're not allowed out.
Oh, well, that's also good news.
Yeah, it's like the referee out here in the cosmos is blowing the whistle and, calling a foul on these guys, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, again, that's about time.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be fun to see what happens once we have Pluto returning to the place it was when the Declaration of Independence happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A Pluto return. We talk about, you know, the Saturn returns, and our personal charts are huge.
Uh-huh.
Like, Saturn has an orbit of about 29 Earth years. So once you get to, you know, the age of 29, you're in your first Saturn return, and that's a huge one, because that's when we, at least internally, are grading our paper in life, and we're usually pretty strict with ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And it's also the end of childhood.
Childhood lost.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, we go through our 20s still thinking we're invincible.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're so damn sure we can fulfill every one of those adolescent fantasies.
Oh, right, right.
And do it in spades, man. We can do it. And then we get to the end of our 20s and we hit this brick wall called reality. And that's the first Saturn return.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And for women, the whole thing with maiden, mother, crone.
Uh-huh.
That follows the Saturn returns.
Oh.
Yeah, once you get into that second phase there, after your first Saturn return, it's the mother phase where you have all these responsibilities in society and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then you get to your late 50s, and you get the second Saturn return, and that's when you get to go sit on the Council of Elders.
Oh.
Be the crone. Yeah, so those are Saturn returns. However, a Pluto return... let's just say it's been a long time since we had humans who lived long enough to have a personal Pluto return.
Uh-huh.
Because it has a 248 Earth year orbit.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
When is that coming about?
For the United States of America, it's coming about starting, it'll go exact starting in 2022.
Oh, my God. No wonder you're saying that it's going to be fireworks.
Oh, this will be a show of shows.
Oh, well, I think that's one of the reasons why I came here.
Oh, yeah, we came because this was going to be the hot spot to be, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because
if we can last long enough and we don't get killed off by fluoride or chemtrails or radiation or anything else that they're throwing at us.
Well, that is up to us now, isn't it?
Well, of course, of course.
Yeah. We are not going to give our power away to these external forces.
Right, right, that's right.
And all these boogeymen out here are not going to take us down.
Right.
Because remember, the so-called dark side only has the power of deception.
Right, and glamour.
Yes, and of course, if they can deceive us into believing that they can do these things to us, then we just gave them the power by believing.
Yes, we're giving them the power to do that. Right.
Yes, and of course, we've done that for thousands of years.
Thousands of years, so it's a habit.
Right,
bad habit.
Right, but now we've determined that this habit really sucks.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So we're like done and a half.
Oh, yeah. I talk to so many people who are more than done. They're like, you know, cooked, like a turkey left in the oven for 10 or 12 hours.
Or 10 or 12 days.
Yeah, 10 or 12 days, right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
No. Yeah. So, I tell you, this is going to be a real big show because the groundwork is being laid now to take this old system down. And we're talking about a system that's been in place at least since the time of ancient Babylon.
Right, right. Now, does that time period coincide at all with Atlantis and Lemuria, or were they before that?
They were before that.
Well, way before, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So this is just a kind of a replay of what's been going on for millions of years, probably.
Yeah, it's the same old stuff.
Same old story, yeah.
Yeah. same old stuff, different eon, you know.
Right, different clothes.
Right, but the Atlantean stuff, that was all long gone and done, and so once they started setting up these civilizations that we at least know about in our known history, this is the system they set up for controlling the humans.
Right, right. And it seems like it has been relatively successful for the most part.
Well, yeah.
I mean, at least in terms of the obvious.
Yeah, because we became very adept at giving our power away.
Right. I'm sure the Protarians have a funny saying about that.
Oh, they have funny sayings about just about everything. Of course, you might imagine, as they look at our governments and our religions and so forth, they are very amused.
It must really be quite a spectacle to see such goings antics, you know.
Well, sure. That's why they refer to planet Earth as Intergalactic Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
Because they look at us, they see these magnificent creator gods, and this is the world we're creating.
Right.
It's like, how do you take that seriously?
Right. And then we're blaming everything else around us for it and working off of our projections.
Well, sure. And at the moment we put the finger of blame out there, we're putting our power out there.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
That's a minor detail, right?
Oh, yeah. Minor. Relatively minor.
Yeah. So this is going to be a real fun time once we get to the point that the planetary alignments are just going to be helping us take this old control system down.
And well, wonderful. Now, it's interesting that we have a president that seems to be controversial at this time.
No accident there.
No. Of course, there are no accidents, according to some.
Yeah, well, this is the big orange wrecking ball that we ordered.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Well, and he has a lot of experience with wrecking balls.
Well, he sure does. You know, he like redesigned the skyline of Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Turned on something new.
I've heard he has some relatives that are kind of aware of the inside goings-on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His family, in fact, his Uncle John.
I had an Uncle John.
Yeah. Well, he had an Uncle John, too, who was one of the scientists who got to review Tesla's work when it was...
Really?
Yes, that was confiscated by the feds within an hour of Tesla, somehow mysteriously dying.
Well, I heard that the Bushes had something to do with the death part.
Well, they're very good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like if you need some death to happen, just call the Bushes.
Papa Bush, he'll take care of it.
Yeah. they're an interesting bunch. But speaking of Nazis, oh, you are. Yes, speaking of Bushes.
Right. Well, they're ever so pervasive. And, of course, the illusion that we won the war was just a convenient story to get us to forget all about it and not look in that direction, because they were actually brought over from Project Paperclip, as everyone knows. It's all documented and installed in high places, and their past histories were wiped out. So, of course, that would be a convenient moment for them to bring in their cohorts and literally work towards the Fourth or Fifth Reich, whatever it is now, whatever version we're in, to purge the planet of undesirables that are not of the proper bloodline, and so on and so forth.
Well, that's us.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Humans.
Yeah, we are the deplorables, yes.
Yeah, the deplorables. That sounds like a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody have a comic book series out there now, The Deplorables.
Right. Could be.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
You know, right.
You know, we're still in Act One, but it's going to be a real good show here.
Well, since we're so close to 2020, like you said, if we're at the two-thirds way, and then 2022 is another major alteration for the United States, if we can last that long, those of us who are, you know, getting older, it will be quite a spectacle, I would think.
Well, yeah, and actually, our baby boomer generation here, Lance. We're in a really cool position because we really get into the aging process here when all of this happens, and we have to remember that Pluto is about death and rebirth. We keep ignoring the rebirth part.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to emerge into our creatorship will just be astonishing.
Absolutely.
Cool. Like the young ones coming in, they're never going to have to grow old and have to deal with this and then have the miraculous thing of resetting and rejuvenating.
Right. Right. And, of course, Mary Rodwell talks about this extensively, and she just came out with a new book about the new kids, and they're incarnating in droves, and they remember their past lives in other galaxies and as, you know, technicians for, you know, such advanced things that we don't even understand what they're talking about, which is exactly what the one kid told Mary. And she said, well, what did you do in the, you know, on the whatever it was that he was doing? He said, oh, Mary, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I used to design beam ships.
Yeah, exactly. Living ships that, you know, communicate with life forms.
Sure. So, yeah, and I really appreciate her perspective that these souls would not be coming in like this at this time if this would turn out to be a washout.
Yes, that was one of the things that struck me so strongly about her research is that they would be aware prior to incarnating of what the possibilities were. And if they were coming into a planet that was going to be destroyed or enslaved totally and, you know, moved into the virtual world, they wouldn't bother. But they're here, and so that indicates that there's quite a bit of hope.
Yeah, and that's why I'm excited with this whole thing with Pluto. And, you know, like 2022 through 2024, that's really going to be the heart of it with the Pluto return for the United States. And remember, it's death and rebirth.
Right.
See, now Pluto does urban renewal. Like most of the people here, you know, dealing with their Pluto transits, they get all upset because they're so attached to what they had, and they're crying like, oh, Pluto tore down my slum, that bad, mean Pluto, my slum is gone. And then afterwards, Pluto gets absolutely no credit for the beautiful office park that's sitting there.
Oh, right. Right.
It's like, tear it down, build a new one, which would be so much better than the old one. And why'd you tear down the old one? Because it was all dilapidated and totally non-functional.
Yes, and some of the most beautiful buildings that have ever been created with just incredible interiors and quality have been torn down. And we've lost a lot of the beauty that was created in certain eras.
Well, that can be restored.
Well, doesn't it all exist in the fourth or somewhere in the fourth?
Well, fourth, dimension? Fifth, yeah, et cetera. You know, it still exists. You know, this is infinity where everything exists.
Right.
So nothing is ever really lost.
Right.
And everything can be healed. Everything can be restored. Literally everything.
Mm. And transcended, too.
Yes. Yeah, and that's really it. You know, we talk about, you know, the death and destruction and Pluto tearing things down. It's simply that we are transcending this old matrix reality.
Well, yes, and again, it's about time. You know, I think even the dark side is probably getting just bored to shit.
Well, they're finished.
Yeah, right. I guess that the only thing left is to reveal the final hands in the card game, and of course they've all been cheating, so they all have 10 aces up their sleeves. So when they show their cards, well, I think it'll be a showdown.
Well, yeah, but it's all just a show. It's a movie.
Yeah, right. And my movies, the ones I like, have happy endings.
There you go. We like those positive resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the way the Proterians have presented this is, yes, it is just a movie. You're in a science fiction flick. Enjoy it. And so since it's a movie, it's kind of like you're in a play. It's live theater here, improvisational theater. Now, when finally that last curtain closes and it's time to go have the cast party, are you going to hate your best friend because they played the part of the bad guy in the play?
Probably not.
No, that it's just going to be party time.
Right, there'd be a lot of love and
yeah,
yeah,
Yeah. However, there are still souls here who have not finished playing the old games.
Right.
And as Proterian says, there are plenty of planets out here, even in this galaxy, where these souls can go and incarnate, and they can be limited to their heart's discontent.
Right. Right. Well, good. As long as it's not in my universe.
Right. It's just we are choosing to operate elsewhere.
Yes, and that means elsewhere besides this particular planet, or...
Or just in this vibrational frequency.
Zone.
Yeah, so we'll just go into a frequency band that they are incapable of accessing.
I love that.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not really that big a deal. Actually, it's a perfectly natural process.
Mm-hmm. Well, hasn't it happened quite a few times already?
Sure. Yeah, and that's what I like to remind people of when I'm doing readings for people. It's like, you know, they'll say, "Oh, how can I do that?" And so you don't have, as the human personality, don't do it. You allow it.
Right.
Your spirit already knows how.
Right.
So just get out of the way.
Exactly. Exactly. That's wise advice.
Yeah, and the Praetorians are always amused by our how questions.
Hmm.
Because they say that when we are asking the how questions, it's the human personality asking, how can I manipulate the universe to make this happen?
Right, right.
Yeah. So anytime the how questions come up, they have a simple four-step formula to deal with all of our how questions.
Okay.
That's one, access thinking dictionary. Two, go to H. Three, scroll down to how. Four, delete from dictionary.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, they're fun beings.
Well, another one is why. That's another one of those redundant questions.
Well, you know, the why questions. Anytime we get into why, we're automatically putting ourselves in victim mode.
Absolutely, yeah. Why did this happen? Well, it just happened.
Yeah.
And it has no bearing on the future. It doesn't mean because that happened and this happened and that happened that I'm the way I am because of those things that happened. That's just what's so.
And you can take the Tong Ren approach to that and, okay, why because of this, why because of that, and why, and what caused this and what caused that, and keep tracing. Next thing you know, it's because of all that is.
Right. Right.
Because there's no end to the cause and effect. It embraces all of infinity.
Right.
Yeah,
and
so
that's when you go crazy.
Yeah, so this speck of dust is floating in the air in front of you right now because of all that is.
All that is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
one thing that I was curious about is that we keep getting hints about Antarctica. And, you know, about a civilization that was uncovered there. And, of course, the major governments are coming and going, and we just don't get, you know, we're not allowed access to anything that's beyond level one, grade one. And I remember recently, within the last year or so, some politicians and people went there and came back really sick or were rushed away for some reason.
Buzz Aldrin had a little trouble down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, what does it take to give Buzz Aldrin a heart attack to freak him out? Oh, good.
Well, maybe those tall Nordics had a hand in it.
Well, beyond that, what about some Draco reptilians and whoever else down there?
Well, yes, that would scare the piss out of you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if they're chomping on hearts, you know.
Yeah.
They can have a strange appetite for... you know, body parts,
yes.
I've heard.
Now, let's not forget the Luciferian code, that they have to tell us what's going on.
Well, yes, but they're so sneaky about it.
Well, yeah, but that's where it's up to us to learn how to decode their messages.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell us through metaphor, and they'll put it in films and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Antarctica, if we want to look at things that they've put in films about that. Now, did you happen to see the film from the 90s called Stargate?
Yes.
Okay. And it developed virtually a cult following, and they turned it into a TV series.
Right, right.
Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right, and it ran for like 7 years, and then they had the spinoff, Stargate Atlantis.
Right, I remember that one, too.
Okay, now we get to the very end of the seventh year of that Stargate series, and Colonel O'Neill and his gang end up back at Earth, and they end up in Antarctica. And in the midst, under the ice, they had this flash-frozen civilization with all this super-high technology. And Colonel O'Neill ended up in this really cool chair, all this high-tech stuff, and he got hooked up to that. And just using his consciousness through this technology, he was able to ward off an alien invasion.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, which that means they're telling us, yes, there's an old civilization under the ice, and they had extremely high technology.
Right, right. And I've actually heard about that chair in a lot of underground articles about, you know, the technology that has been going on in black projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you mentioned that these different dignitaries and so forth have been going down there for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're negotiating, and they're slicing up the pie, et cetera.
Right. Well, there was also a picture of at some place in the Vatican where the president and the pope were underground, and there was some kind of device in front of them that was, you know, we don't know what it is, but we're guessing that it was access to, you know, the control system.
Yeah. But, you know, of course, the controllers are still thinking they are going to have it all to themselves.
Right.
Yes, and we know they are incorrect.
Right.
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 They are seriously deluded.
Right.
Because the awakening is something they cannot stop.
Well, if it, I mean, how could it be stopped unless we were all turned into zombies?
Well, they're trying to help us do that.
Well, there are so many zombie films out now and vampire movies that you
sure.
almost can't watch anything else.
Yeah, well, the zombie apocalypse is going on out there.
Yeah, right.
All these people walking around and they're glued to their plasma screens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, that reminds me of an old Star Trek Next Generation episode.
Huh.
And it was simply called The Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and there was this ship that came from some other race of beings, and they gave the crew of the Enterprise this wonderful gift. It was this game, and so they're all walking around with these little things with their plasma screens, looking like our cell phones, and everybody gets their consciousness just totally sucked into this game, and through that, these other beings were taking over the consciousness, hence taking over the ship.
Right, right. And that's really something that is happening here on the planet, because there are people in the know who have documented the various obelisks and the things that have been designed to harvest energy, such as the Seattle tower, what is the thing called?
I don't remember the name.
Right. Well, anyway, the tower and the Ferris wheel in Paris and
yeah.
lots of things that look like one thing are actually their energy movers. And they point out the flow, and it all goes back to the royal family, and then it goes from there to the Vatican.
Yes. Well, you know, you have those three independent city-states.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got Washington, D.C., and then you've got the city of London, and then you've got Vatican City.
Right.
Okay, well, Vatican City is actually the headquarters for that system.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. In fact, if you would put together, like, some organization that would be gaining diplomatic status in the world,
uh-huh.
you know, and to do that, you have to be politically neutral and jump through all these hoops, fill out a lot of paperwork, and do all this stuff. So you do it here in the U.S., and you get, you know, the stamp of approval finally from the U.S. government.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, you can go through the diplomatic area, you know, instead of going through the standard TSA stuff, et cetera, in the U.S., but that doesn't mean you can do it outside the U.S.
Right.
You have to go have it approved by the City of London.
Ah.
And so you go through the process with them. And even then, the third step is it has to go through the phase three, which is the approval by the Vatican. Then it's international.
Right, right. And, of course, they have their own city, which cannot be dealt with by neighboring police or any other form of control. It has its own sovereign state.
Yeah, those three places, District of Columbia, Vatican City, and City of London, are all sovereign city-states.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's part of that old game, that old system that's going to come down.
Right.
And it's being undermined right now as we speak.
Well, I did hear something about the president having issued so many, I think there were warrants, 4,000 or 44,000, I don't remember.
Oh, it's
what,
way over. It's over 50,000.
Is it? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, all they do is talk about that having been done, but they never haven't been served. So it makes
right.
one
well,
wonder if it's just, you know, to get us all hyped up or if it's actually true.
Well, remember, in a classic sting operation, you get it all set up and then bring the whole thing down in one shot.
Well, that would be ideal, yes.
Yes, well, that's the way they run the sting operations. Like if you're working for the FBI and you're trying to bust some major drug ring, you can spend 2 or 3 years setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, one of my friends here in town is retired from the FBI, and he was in charge of one of those big sting operations. They worked for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
To get it all set up, and they were so close to bringing the ring down all in that one shot, and some goofballs from the DEA ran in and did a bust on part of that ring.
Oh.
And of course, it's like you turn on the lights and the cockroaches all scatter and go into
yeah,
the woodwork.
Yeah, yeah.
They blew the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's largely what's going on there, is you've got lots and lots of these sealed indictments, and some of them may not be unsealed. Let's say that you sit down with somebody and say, well, okay, we've got these indictments here on you. Do you want to cooperate now?
Oh, right, right, of course.
Do you want us to ruin your family?
Oh, of course, yes.
Do you want to have your legacy destroyed and your family living in shame?
Yeah, gee.
Yeah, or do you want to cooperate?
Right.
We can unseal the indictments if you want.
Right. Now, that's a clever thing to do. If I were in control, I'd certainly want to do something like that.
Right. Well, there's a lot of that going on behind the scenes.
Right. Right. And of course, we are on a need to know basis, which is we need to know nothing.
Well, look, that's what they think.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're sitting on so many secrets from the beginning that you know, because they know the various alien forces that were here millions and millions of years ago, and they know the whole story about what's really happened and what's going on.
Yeah. But also, the great revelations that are ready to come are really going to be a lot of fun. And it's coming down to Earth because Uranus is doing its triple transit over the cusp, entering the sign of Taurus.
Oh.
A month or so, published an article called Uranus in Taurus, The Preview.
Oh. Now, when does that come about?
Well, it's in process now.
Okay.
Remember, your three outer planets, that's Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, always do a triple transit over every single degree of the zodiac.
Huh.
Yes. They'll go over that point, and then they'll go retrograde back over it and come over it for a third time when it resumes direct motion. Every single degree of the zodiac. They never do a flyby. and they're very slow and very thorough. So none of those planets ever just go from one sign into another. They always do a triple transit over the cusp. So Uranus has come up over the cusp into Taurus to give us about 6 months of a preview of what we can expect for the following 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And then it retrogrades back into Aries. And it'll do that on November 6th of all days. And that's when we finish up all the Uranus and Aries stuff. It's like, okay, last call, or 11th hour confessions, tie up your loose ends, etc. And then on March 6th, it's going to come into Taurus to stay for quite a while. And that's the big lightning bolt, the big bringer of revelations and liberation and so forth. And so we will have Uranus in Taurus while all this other stuff that we were talking about is going on.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, once we get into the real fun stuff, Uranus will be far enough up into the sign of Taurus, which is an Earth sign, just like the Capricorn. It's going to be giving a nice trine to Pluto up there. So, wow, look out, man. It's all falling in place, and it's fun.
Yeah. Well, it sure seems that way. I mean, it's nice to have people like you that understand this stuff and can explain it to dummies like me.
Oh, give yourself a little credit here.
All right. So I'm not a dummy.
Yeah. After all, how many shows have you done by now, and how many cool people have you had on?
Oh, my God. Well, in 12 years, that's one a week times however many, 36 weeks times 12.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right. And just think of all the people with all the knowledge in the different areas that you've had on the show.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I just had Judy Carroll on, who's a lifelong abductee and a friend of the Greys.
Right.
And she was just magnificent. That show is really outstanding. She brought so much to light. It was a wonderful experience to be able to talk to her and learn about, the connection that some people have, that they have set up in this lifetime to other species. And it's also nice to hear somebody speak favorably of the Greys, that they're not torn apart, because we know that all Greys are not the same.
Well, like, are all humans the same?
Oh, right, of course. There's Charles Manson, there's...
Yeah, those fun people, yeah. The amusing ones.
Right. Yeah. Oh, what's that guy that ate humans? He got killed.
Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, yes, right, of course.
Yeah, but that one just got publicized. It was one lone goofball. The people who run the show here behind the scenes are not only pedophiles, they're pedovores.
Oh.
The Luciferians who do the child sacrifice rituals.
Oh, yeah.
They drink the adrenalized blood, and they want to eat the pineal gland. They want to eat the adrenals. It's like, God, these people are just... They're predator souls of a different species, currently in human form.
Right. Would you say that they're most likely reptilian in nature?
Well, most of them are.
Yeah. Well, of course, David Icke has been saying that about the Queen and the royal family for decades.
Right, yeah. And Proterian says that those are really like the ranch hands.
Hmm.
It's like, we have been farmed here
for
thousands of years, and these are just a piece of the ranch hands here, the farm hands.
Right. Well, there was a movie made about that. I think it was called Jupiter Rising.
Oh, Jupiter Ascending, yeah.
Jupiter Ascending, yes. And that was really interesting to see what they were farming and how they created the big Earth-like planets to destroy and farm the various life forms there.
Yeah, especially humans.
Especially humans. And then they get their rejuvenation fluids from the distillation of the human energy body.
Right. Remember, he was standing there with that one bottle, and he said, this bottle contains the life essence of 100 humans.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you can see where that would be very alluring.
Yeah.
You can understand that, and yet they were so... vain and pretentious and sure of themselves, and of course they're causing so much pain and destruction. It's a no-brainer as to who should be not participating in that.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, they're awakening too.
I hope so.
They're all part of the field. Anything and anybody you can think of or see here is part of the infinite energy field.
And that would be in all galaxies up to about the ninth dimension, as I understand it.
That would be literally everything. There is nothing that's not part of the field.
Right. Now, what about outside of the field or beyond material realms?
Well, when I say the field, that is the entire
all of it.
Infinitude.
Okay, which right. includes?
Which includes right. all cosmic planes, all universes, and everything you can ever think of.
Right, right.
All space-time continua, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It is literally the infinite, and that's all we are. There is only the field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everybody and everything will awaken to it eventually. It's just that we've chosen this time for our awakening.
Right, right.
And there may be those who want to go elsewhere and play these kinds of games because they're not done yet.
Right, so there are allowances made for the various choices that life forms make.
Right. And
even if we perceive that as being a horrible, nightmarish scenario.
Yeah, well, we can look around at some of our friends here and see things they're generating in their own lives and go, God, why are they doing that? That's horrible. And, of course, we can try to wake them up and help them, you know, see what they're doing. But some of them are very resistant, as you know.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, there's a great deal of resistance to anything that penetrates our conscious awareness, because if we were to allow anything in that has to do with conspiracy truths or facts, then our whole construction or our whole construct would crumble.
Well, sure, and that's why so many people resist the truth, is because it would shatter their illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And their illusions mean more to them than the truth, which is
yes,
a lot of
yes. Yeah, and for me and you and other people like us that are probably listening now and later, it's just the opposite. We would just, you know, we live for the truth no matter what it is, and that idea that we can't take it is just bullshit.
Exactly, yeah. And for some of these people, you know, who are, well, they're numbing out and dumbing down and so forth, for them, yeah, it would be too great a leap.
Right, right.
And so they're exercising the opt-out clause in many cases. It's like it's like they look down the path, because the soul can see farther down the road than the human ego can.
Right.
And so the soul looks down there and goes, oh, my God, my human component would just lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not ready. I'll just opt out.
Right. Right. Or, you know, make a plan that allows for a gradual revelation so that you can handle them as they come.
Yeah, but they're going to come so rapidly then. I don't know how that's going to work out for some of these folks.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, there. Oh, it's going to be fun.
So, well, what else do you see on your perceptual screen approaching other than Nibiru?
That's another fun one. There's so much stuff physically approaching the planet here.
Yeah.
And our solar system is approaching this really huge solar system.
Oh.
Again, where are we in the galaxy right now?
Well, I don't know. Where are we? I'm lost.
Second star to the right, straight on till morning. No problem.
Good.
No, see, we're in territory where we have not been before. And so when we play with astrology, yeah, we can play with the way the planets are interacting here in our own little solar system, but our solar system is part of a bigger system.
Ah.
Yeah, and that bigger system is moving in a different part of this galaxy, and as you had mentioned earlier, when we have galaxies coming together, wow, we end up with a whole different system.
Right,
to play
right.
in. And so
there'd be entirely different energies emerging.
Totally. And it was Samuel R. Hoffman who did the official paper on this years ago, which is still classified.
Oh,
yeah, they don't want us knowing about that. But about this gigantic solar system of which we had never previously theorized, and it is transparent to us.
Huh.
But through a few channeled sources, we've been told that once our frequency shifts enough, we will be able to actually see it, even with the naked eye.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't think that's going to have an impact?
Oh, that should.
Well, yeah. See, so we'll have more than just our little baby astrology here of, you know, Well, you've got Pluto squaring your natal Mars. Okay, great. Okay.
It'll be a whole new dynamic that will just blow people away.
Totally, yeah.
Well, now, what's going to happen to the nine-dimensional matrix that pretty much runs the day-to-day events using artificial intelligence?
Well, let's just say it will no longer be operational in its current form.
Well, I do remember you mentioning something about planting love bugs in the Matrix.
Well, sure, yeah. See, now, even the Matrix and, like, the Archons and these beings and these forms that are actually artificial intelligence, or as George Kavoslis calls it, mechanical intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
Even that is part of the field.
Right, right.
Okay, so why can't it learn what its true nature is and what the universe truly is?
Right.
Why can't it awaken? Why can't it learn to live a life of love and life like we are?
Right. Well, of course, then you have a new God.
Well.
And there are so many already.
Well, yeah. But
both gods.
Yeah, you know, it's like the cosmic AI out here is like Pinocchio. It wants to become a real boy.
Right, and it's looking for itself in everything.
Yeah. And so, people are so, frightened, of course, by this predatory AI. Well, there's predatory stuff all over the place. That's part of the cosmic matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Praetorians have said for decades, if you are living in a reality that has a predator-prey relationship, you're not flowing in the natural universe. You are in a matrix that's been artificially generated.
Right. And, of course, here on this planet, everything survives by feeding on something else. So this is one of those matrices.
Matrices, yes. Yeah, and so, how are you going to have peace on Earth if even at the microbial level there's all that fighting and killing and eating and
right.
Everything's in survival mode and so forth. So the whole energy field will shift.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we can help, right?
Yeah, right. Well, somebody's going to have to shut him down.
Or simply shift the function.
Which is the function, right. That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't have to put a drastic end to things. That's why I like the blue room technique for resolving our karmic relationships with people here in our matrix. Because it doesn't involve like the violent imagery that so many New Agey people use of Archangel Michael comes in with a sword and cuts the cords between you and all
right,
that.
Right. That's just more of the same stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And see, in the blue room technique, which you can find on the articles page, I think it's right at the very bottom of the articles page on my website, and it's also on Laura Bruno's blog, you just visualize yourself in a blue room. Everything is blue. It's the one primary color that's completely neutral. You get yourself in that state of neutrality, blue floors, blue walls, blue ceiling, blue furniture, blue everything. And as you get into that neutrality, then you can call the quote-unquote higher self of this other person you're concerned with to come in and sit down with you, and you explain that you're finished living in karmic relationships. You're now moving into a state of grace. And so since you both have energies tied up in each other, it's time to go beyond that type of karmic relationship that leads to that. So they have all kinds of energy tied up in you because of the karmic entanglement, so you simply release it back to them.
Yes, yes.
And you allow the energy that is yours that's been all tied up in them to be released back into you.
Right, right.
Yeah, so there's no violence of coming in with swords and cutting things.
Right. No, that makes total sense, and that probably is just about the only way that it does make sense.
Yeah, it's the only thing I've ever found that's nice and smooth.
Yeah, I like that.
And really effective. And I've been thinking of doing another article on it because a lot of people are really expanding on the blue room, like bringing both their parents in at the same time,
mm-hmm.
bringing in the entire family.
Right.
Actually, back in the 90s, I got to the point that I did it with the whole planet. to the entire human race and realize human race, well, there's humans all over the galaxy and beyond. I ended up doing entire worlds at a time.
Wow.
Galaxies. It's like, yeah, it's like, come on, guys. Let's just
that
be done with all
fun.
This. Oh, it was, yeah. It's like, let's be done with all this karmic nonsense. It's a silly old game, and we're done.
Right, right. It's time for that to all end.
Yeah, to live now in a state of grace.
Yes. And I envision that as a place where there is nothing feeding on anything else. It all
exactly.
just is.
Right. It's like the way Proterian had put it years ago is, okay, let's see if we have this straight. This part of God has to kill and eat that part of God in order to survive. How much sense does that make?
Well, not much. Well, you know, this has been such a fun conversation that we've just got about less than a minute left.
Oh, boy.
So I thought maybe you, if you have any final statements or want to mention your website or do anything in the next 40 seconds, it's all yours.
SoulPurposeReadings.com. You know, I really did that website.
And I, for some reason, you're fading out on me.
Okay, but I'm hearing myself echoing here.
Oh, well, the good thing the show's coming to an end in about 3 seconds. So.
It's the Matrix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So
we seem to be okay now.
Good, good. And
well, thanks a lot, Lance.
You want to mention your website for people to want to schedule a Soul Purpose reading?
Yeah, okay, well, soulpurposereadings.com. And I recently redid that website.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got a lot more information on it than I had before.
Wonderful. Well, Tim, I in my opinion, you give the best Soul Purpose readings of anybody that I've ever had a reading by. So, you know, people who like to get readings, you're affordable and you're good. And I think they're terrific readings, so I highly recommend you to anybody.
Well, thank you.
Well, and thank you for being on the show again.
Well,
and
sure.
We'll catch up again in a few months and find out where we're at in the cosmic reality.
All righty.
All right. Thanks so much, Tim. It was wonderful to talk with you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.